Thank you, Jenny. What a blessing. She sang that at family camp, where Mark and I and Bucky actually did that camp together. We had a lot of fun. I heard that there was a video at ACF last night of it. And for those that were at that camp, I had an alter ego. I was called Dark Matt. I went to the dark side. And I had this big black wig with this like curly hair, and I had these fake tattoos, and I'd walk around in black. And so that's what they put up on the, you know, on the projection. So I was thinking, boy, that's a way to go out of Applegate. The last thing they remember about me is this lunatic with wild hair. Well, glad we got rid of that guy. Hey, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." And Father, I do thank you for your word. It is a sword able to divide, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you've sent it for. So, Lord, we pray that this time we would have listening hearts to what you would want to speak to us. Bless us, speak to us, refresh us. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may know that I just returned about 2 weeks ago from a trip to India. About 10 of us went there. In fact, the guy that was playing the djembe here, Aaron Fralick, was on that trip with me. And we had a great time. It was an amazing thing to watch what the Lord orchestrated over there. We had three objectives when we went there. The first objective was a pastor's conference, where we got to teach through the book of Romans, a group of 500 pastors. Total blessing. We also got to put in a water purification system in to this village that had been a refugee camp for people who had lost their homes and lost everything for this during the tsunami back in December of 2004. They didn't have clean water, so we were able to put in a water purification system. And thirdly, we got to do these outreaches into these villages. And if you think you've been to the middle of nowhere, think again. These places were the middle of nowhere. We'd be on a road, off a road, down a road, onto a pathway, down to a village. Now for me, going into this India outreach and India mission trip, the first two things were real easy for me. Teaching the Bible, I love to do it. Hanging out with a bunch of pastors, no problem. I do that already. Water purification system, no problem. I went to Oregon State University, and I have an engineering degree, and I did all kinds of stuff with fluids and particle dynamics. I understand that. Pastor's conference, purification system, no problem. But the outreaches had me wondering and really worried. Number one, it was the language barrier. I speak English. They speak Tamil. How is this going to work? How am I going to share the gospel with people that I can't even communicate with? That was problem number one. Problem number two, though, was the one that really concerned me. I have been looking at India for about 2 years prior to this trip. And I go on websites like Fox's Book of Martyrs and other places that talk about the persecuted church. And this area in India called Tamil Nadu is always in the top 10 of persecuted places around the world. There are these militant, radical Hindus that are there. And they beat Christians and kill Christians and skin Christians alive. And there's testimonies of this. And so I'm thinking outreaches into the middle of nowhere, a bunch of white guys. I don't know if this is a good idea. This could be dangerous. And so the first day of outreaches, we were in this van and we had gone out. Oh, it was so far away from anything. We had split up into two groups. We had 10 members and we split up into two groups of five. And my group were driving and we're driving and driving and we drove some more and drove some more and I'm thinking, where are we headed? And then we saw this group of men up ahead, a big group of men. And there was no village around. They were just there. And the van began to slow down a little bit, and we were wondering, what are these men doing? Then we saw this big pile of wood, and on top of it was a body. And I'm looking and thinking, that's a Hindu funeral. And so I asked Israel, our guide, he's with Body of Christ Ministries over there in India. I said, is this a Hindu funeral? And he said, yes. Do you want to go? I said, no. Are you kidding? I'm looking at Aaron thinking, this is bad news. I mean, what do you do at this funeral? Hey, we're here, we're crashing your funeral. Who's the lady? You know, how does that work? That doesn't work. And so we're kind of discussing this, and the van had completely stopped. And Israel say, no, it'll be okay. I'm still, no, I don't want to go. But we were too late. The crowd then had gathered around our whole van. Now we're like in this sea of these guys at this Hindu funeral. And they're talking with Israel and Tamil. I don't know what they're saying, but Israel said they really want you guys to get out. I said, I bet they do. So I put my faith in Israel, and we got out and went down to this funeral. And I'm talking about my radar being up. Man, I was just wary of this situation, wondering and looking, and really, the quicker this could be over, the better. And so finally, they light the body on fire. That's what they do in India. And so it's torching up, and Israel says, do you want to go? I said, yes, let's go. Whew. No incident yet. No machetes out. Let's go as soon as we can. And so I'm turning around, getting ready to walk away, when Jonah, he's one of our guys, one of the five, great brother from Medford, says to Israel, hey, can we hand out some tracts? I look at Jonah, I say, no way, these are Hindus, are you kidding me? And Israel agreed with me. No, we don't want to do that at first. And then as we're walking up to the van, I'm trying to hustle everybody, okay, let's go, all right. Israel says, no, wait a minute, I'll ask him. And so he walks over to the Hindus, I didn't. I headed right for the van. I figured, you know, if things go down bad here, someone has to bring the news home, and that would be me. They all were skinned alive. I got out. I'm sorry. So I sat down in the van. I'm looking out the window. And Israel goes over and he's talking to these guys. And I'm wincing and wondering. And for some reason, these guys were so blessed that we got out and watched this Hindu burial. Not burial, funeral. This Hindu funeral that they said, we would love to receive something from these guys. And so he pulled out these tracts and began to hand them out. And the men were receiving them like you'd receive like an ancient, priceless manuscript. It was incredible. I had counted God out. And I don't know what is going to happen with that village, but I am positive there's going to be a great work there. They took them home. I think they studied them. We'll see, hopefully, if we ever get a return, what God did with that. So that was the outreaches. 2 days of that. There's more good stories, but I won't belabor the point. After that, we went down to the pastor's conference. Good for me. here, this feels like home. I can start teaching and enjoying. And we began to teach the Bible. In fact, Aaron Frelick, the guy playing up here, kicked it off with chapter 1. And he just parked it, hit a home run. And there was a buzz. It was a two-hour session. You think that's long? It's not. I mean, these guys, their church services, wow. You're in church a long time. But it's really 1 hour of teaching because there's translation. So we spent about an hour per chapter, but it would be a two-hour session with translation. So we kicked it off, and these pastors, they were just, we can't believe this. We've never heard about through the Bible teaching. In fact, after it was over, one pastor grabbed me and he said, I've been saved again by going through the book of Romans. And so I asked my translator, what does that mean? He said, it's like this. Salvation is such a huge event in somebody's life that, you know, you mark it down, I was saved on this day. That pastor was essentially saying to me, this is such a huge event in my life that it was as if I was saved again. That's how important this day was. It's incredible. So Aaron kicked it off, home run with chapter 1. They were excited. They were buzzing. He's a great teacher of God's word. After Aaron, though, we had divided up Romans, the 16 chapters of Romans, amongst the whole group. Some of us were teaching one chapter. Some of us were teaching two chapters. And so after Aaron, a couple of other guys got up and began to teach. And after the third guy, it was obvious to me that these guys were not comfortable or really gifted at teaching God's word. And the buzz stopped. It's obvious to me. It was obvious to Body of Christ Ministries. It was even obvious to the pastors. And they were starting to say, well, you know, we know this stuff, what these guys are talking about. And so I knew there's 3 days more of this Bible conference. I better call a team meeting. So I got us all together that night, and it was something that I did not want to share with them because I knew I was going to have to change things up on who was teaching at this Bible conference. And I shared with them what I'm going to share with you this morning, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul here says that he was not going to boast. In verse 14, he says he would not be pushed outside of his measure. And then he goes on to say that the measure of the rule in the King James Version, which God has given to me. Now that word that Paul uses for rule there is very interesting. The people in Corinth would recognize that word. What it literally means is lane, like a lane that you would drive in. But it was more than that. See, in Corinth, there were these games, kind of like the Olympics. They were called the Isthmus Games. And in the Isthmus Games, people would run track and field. And when they would run around the track, they had to run in their rule. They had to run in their lane. There was a certain lane that you had to run in. You couldn't get out of it. Same today as it was then. There are lanes you have to run in track and field. You could be the fastest. You could be in the best shape. You could be the most talented athlete. But if you get outside of your lane, you're disqualified. You have to stay in your lane. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, there is a lane for me that God has given me. And I'm to run in that lane. And I'm not going to boast of things outside of my lane. I'm not going to move outside of the lane that God has given me to run in. It's wisdom. Each of us, 1 Peter tells us, has been given a gift, has been given a lane that we're to run in. And it's wisdom to know, this is where I'm gifted. This is what I do best. And to say, like Paul would say, I'm staying in my lane. I'm going to run where God has gifted me. I'm not going to be boasting of things that are outside of my lane. I'm not going to try to get into somebody else's lane. I'm going to run in my lane. And I shared that. And I shared, I think there are two ways you can know what your lane is. There are two ways to know what God has created you to do, the purpose in your life. I believe there are two simple ways. There are others, but these are the two that I shared. Number one, when you're in your lane, you're going to find great joy. When you're doing what God has created you to do, the measure that He's given you, the gifting that He's given you, when you're doing that, you're going to find that when you're in your lane, it brings great joy. In fact, the Apostle Paul would write in Acts chapter 20, towards the end of his ministry, he would say there, "I have finished my course with joy." That word for course is actually a marathon term. I finished this marathon. I've stayed in my lane. And because of that, my ministry has been joyous. For me to get up here and to teach God's word, that's joy for me. It's awesome. I love it. Some of you would say, "That's my worst nightmare. I would never want to get up there. Are you kidding me?" For me, it's joy because it's my lane. For other people, they're going to say, "No way. I don't want to get close to that. Keep me off the stage. Let me do something else." When it's your lane, yeah, there'll be ups and downs. There's ups and downs for me. Yes, there's hard times and good times. But overall, I can say, like Paul, "Man, this course, this lane that God has given me, it's brought me great joy." That's the first way you'll know. First way you'll know if you're in your lane, does it bring you joy? The second thing, I believe, is a good indication if you're in your lane is, does it bring other people joy? People are a great indication of when you're running in your lane. You see, there is a difference between a desire and a gifting. For instance, for many, many years, I had a great desire to be an NFL quarterback. And I finally realized, about last month, the gifting just is not there. I'm not going to be an NFL quarterback. The desire is there. The gifting, it's just not there. There's a difference between desire and gifting. And a lot of times, you can gauge your gifting by how people react to you when you're running in what you think is your lane. I bought this little pottery kit. I really wanted to do some pottery with my girls. And so I bought this little pottery wheel thing that you could, it's just a plug-in kind. You didn't have to turn it with your wheel, with your feet. And I was real excited when I bought it. Oh, girls, we're going to make some pottery. And so I got my tools together, and you had to kind of assemble it. So I assembled it all on the kitchen table and put down a sheet so it wouldn't be a mess and got it all ready and got out the clay. And I said, "Carissa," she's my four-year-old, almost five, "come here, let's make some pottery." And she comes over and she looks at it and she goes, "Ooh, that's dirty." Boy, the dad thing kicked in. I said, "Let me see your hand." I turned it on. "See, it's not so bad." And I took her hand and kind of made her touch it. Well, she started crying. "Don't, Daddy, let go of me, don't." Oh, okay then, fine. Go do your thing. So I thought to myself, I'm going to provoke them to jealousy. I'm going to make something so beautiful and so wonderful that they'll see it. And they'll say, "Dad, I want to join with you making pottery." And so I sat there for 2.5 hours. You can ask my wife. It's very difficult to do pottery, by the way. Trying to make this coffee cup. And I just had to start over multiple times. It'd fall apart. And finally, I had my masterpiece done. And I took the little wire and I cut it off the wheel. And I took it over to Carissa to provoke her to jealousy. I said, "Look, sweetie, look what Daddy made." She looked at it and crinkled her nose and squinted her eyes. "What is it?" I said, "Well, what is it? It's a coffee cup." And she said, "No, it's not. It's ugly." I put the pottery wheel up about a year ago, and I haven't touched it since. The desire was there, but at this point, the gifting's not. And a lot of times, how people react to you, you will know if you're running in your lane. And so I shared this with those guys. Not something that I wanted to share. I expected them to be disappointed, to say, "You've ruined this trip. Why did I spend this money?" So after I finished, I was kind of burdened in my heart, but then I was shocked because three of the guys immediately said, "I don't want to teach." you have just freed me up. You have brought joy to my life, letting me not have to get up there and teach. I've been dreading this. I've had nightmares. I've been sweating about this. Thank you, Matt. And I thought, wow, how good. It's true. It was not bringing joy to them. It was something they didn't want to do, and it blessed me. Because when you're running in your lane, you'll find joy, and other people will find joy. Okay, Matt, thanks for the missionary update. But I was coming to find out what the vision is for Edgewater Christian Fellowship. Well, I don't believe it's a coincidence that God had me just 2 weeks ago come back from India, thinking and praying over these things, wondering how all this stuff fits together, and then had this church start so quickly. I don't believe it's a coincidence. Because this is my heart for this church, for us as a group. I want this body to be a body that assists one another in finding their lane. And finding the purpose that God has created you. And finding how to minister, to give you opportunity to minister here at this church. That's one of the overall visions for this church. We want you to find a place where you can use your gifts. That's my heart. Well, that's great. I'm not saying that, though, for you to feel warm and fuzzy. I'm saying that selfishly. Why is that? Well, for your own notes, you can write down Ephesians 4:16. Because in Ephesians 4:16, the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 4, talks a lot about how this thing called the church is to work. And in verse 16, Paul writes this. He says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Modern English. When the body is joined together, and each part does what it is supposed to be doing, the measure that God has given it, there are three things that come out of that. Number one, there is increase numerically. It grows. Number two, there is edification internally. The body is strengthened. Each of us is strengthened. And number three, there is love externally. You have a strong, growing, loving body. And that is my heart for Edgewater Christian Fellowship. And Paul says this, when each person is joined together, doing what God has measured them to do, that is the product. You have a strong, growing body. That's my heart for us. That we would find the lane that we're to run in. That we would run strongly. And that we would see this body built, edified, and loving. Okay, Matt, how does that work practically? Let me give you some examples right now that I jotted down in the last couple days of where you can fit in right now. Music, number one. Mark Skudstat is in charge of music. And it's my desire that we would have a pool of musicians, not just ones that desire to play, but ones that are gifted in playing. So if you feel that your lane is to be a musician, and you're to run in that lane, and you're to be a musician playing, then you know what? Get a hold of Mark Skudstat, because we want you up here leading us in worship. We're going to have all kinds of different people coming through on a Sunday and a Wednesday leading worship. Some of them you'll love, some of them you'll like, others of them, well, you won't. But don't worry. Because next week, it'll be somebody else. So we want to get a pool of musicians together and allow you to lead us in worship. So that's area number one. If you feel that way, get a hold of Mark Skudstat. He's in charge of music for Edgewater Christian Fellowship. Number two, this is another one that I'm selfish about, child care. I have three daughters, a five-year-old, almost five, a three-year-old, and a three-month-old. I want to see us have excellent child care. I don't mean babysitting. I don't want babysitting happening during service. I want to see our kids instructed in God's Word. And so my challenge is this for us as a body, because I think there's people here that can do it. I would like to see our kids taken through the Bible every year or at the most every 2 years. So they go cover to cover in 2 years' time at the max. So by the time a kid is 10 years old, he will have been through the Bible minimally three times. That's my heart. But in order to do that, we need a curriculum. We need artists to be able to draw pictures and make cool diagrams. We need theologians to say, these are the 100 or 200 most important stories in the Bible that we're going to start teaching our kids. We need different levels. I want all the kids to be talking about the same story. So if we're in whatever it is, Exodus chapter 22, then the four-year-olds are in it, and so are the sixth graders. Everyone's in the same section. It goes light for the four-year-old. It goes in depth for the sixth grader. But that way, on the way home, you guys can discuss the same story with all your kids, whatever it is. And so it's my heart, and I believe that we have the talent here to do this well, to make a curriculum where we take our kids through the Bible in a year or 2 years max, and they are being firmly planted in the soil of Scripture. And I personally feel if we make a curriculum like that, there will be churches saying, man, can we have that? And we will say, absolutely, take it for free. Because we want to see this next generation go and stand on our shoulders and do more and be more firmly planted in God's Word. So curriculum. You've got musician, you've got music. If you're an artist or if you're into God's Word, man, we need a curriculum made up. Thirdly, missions. I love missions. For those of you who do not know me, I spent time at Applegate's mission in Mexico. I taught at the Bible school in Vanuatu for a year. I love missions. I think they're important. I think a church like us has to be focused upon the lost because that was Jesus' commission to us. And I would like to even suggest that next year at this time, we'll be going back to India, doing another pastor's conference, doing outreaches, evangelistic outreaches, and putting in another water purification system. And so if you're interested in missions, I think we're going to do it. Lord willing, at this time next year, we're going to be headed to India. And so if that's on your heart, be praying about it. We'll make it as cheap as possible. And man, it'll bless your socks off. So missions, music, curriculum, missions, and oh my goodness, do we have needs in serving right now? We have, I couldn't write them all down. There are needs in the children's wing. Bucky Buckstabber is in charge of that. If you love kids and want to be involved with kids, contact Bucky Buckstabber. We need teachers in there. We need musicians in there. We need those that are just holding babies. Tons and tons of help. We need to set it up every Wednesday and every Sunday. So if you want to help out with kids, that's a great way to serve. We have needs when it comes to doorkeepers, handing out bulletins, passing out things for people that are coming in. If you want to do that, contact Sean Logue. If you don't know who Sean Logue is, call the Grants Pass office. If you have computer skills, we need people that have computer skills. If you know how to put together bulletins, we need help putting together bullets. You name it right now, we need help. We're all of a sudden a big church, just like that. And so we don't have the infrastructure put in that would normally grow with the church. Tons of opportunities to serve here. Glenn Littweiler is over all the setup here that goes on. The chairs, the parking lot, all that kind of stuff. If you have gifts or want to serve in any way, contact Glenn Littweiler. Once again, we'll be in the Grants Pass office Tuesday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You can call there. The number is actually on the bottom of that bulletin that we handed out. We need help. Practically, this Saturday, we need help. Fruitdale has blessed us to allow us to be in here. Word has gotten out that Fruitdale Elementary needs help landscaping. And so we as a church want to bless them back. This Saturday, we want to get a crew that's going to kind of clean up the grass areas around the front of this school just to bless them. We're going to pay for it. We're going to do the work for it. And it'll totally bless them. And I believe we'll have a good working relationship with this school. So if you're interested in doing that, Bill and Vicki Borman, where are you guys in here? Oh, not Bill and Vicki. Bill and Ben, sorry. Yeah, I got this all straight. Glenn Littler told me about 5 minutes before service, so. Ben and Vicki, where are you guys at? Okay, there's Ben right there. And you can kind of see Vicki's hand there. They're going to be, where are you guys going to be? They're going to be in front, right up here. And if you are interested in that, contact or get up here and ask them, hey, what can I do? I want to pull weeds or whatever for a couple hours. So we can do that just to bless this church. You may be saying, you know what? I'm new to this. Some of these guys, it seems like they know everybody. They know, you know, they're coming in, they're high-fiving, but I'm brand new here. If you want to be connected, then my recommendation is tonight. There are what we call home fellowships meeting all around the valley. In fact, if you have a home fellowship tonight, would you stand up? Because you may not even know these people. So these guys standing up right now, if you are looking for a home fellowship or a way to get involved or plugged in more than you are right now, grab one of these guys, talk to them after service, and they will let you know where they're meeting tonight. And we're going to put together a bulletin actually with all this information in it. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. So there's opportunities. Opportunities to be involved, opportunities to serve, opportunities to lead, I believe, in curriculum. And finally, there are going to be things that we don't even notice. You may think, oh, I really want to evangelize. You may feel my lane is to help the homeless. Or my lane is to minister to single moms. Or my lane is to minister to moms that have had abortions. Whatever it may be, we want to. We may not be able to do anything financially for you, but we want to join with you in your ministry and assist you in finding your lane where God would want to use you. All kinds of stuff. The door right now is wide open. Jump in and have a blast. And you'll find when you're in your lane, it's going to bring joy to you, and it'll bring joy to those you minister to. Amen? Last but not least, for the vision of this fellowship, I left it for the last thing I talk about for a reason. Because I want it to be the thing you take home more than anything else. All the stuff that I've talked about, serving, opportunities, it means nothing. It means nothing unless we keep our eyes on Jesus. All we would be then is just another club. We might as well take away Christian Fellowship and just be Edgewater. We have to always keep our focus upon Jesus Christ. It's huge as a church. And there are all kinds of forces that want to pull our attention away from Jesus. Politics. Even ministry. But I want us as a church to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. It's so important. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus looked to his 12 disciples and said to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And his disciples began to answer and said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're a prophet." Here's the deal. Those that were around Jesus were trying to figure out what is he like. And so they were comparing him to other ministries. Kind of like if you go and eat some strange food somewhere. People will say, "Well, what did it taste like?" And you'll say, "It tasted like chicken." It's the same thing. They're saying Jesus is like John the Baptist, meaning he's preaching repentance. Or Jesus is like Elijah. He does miracles. Or Jesus is like Jeremiah. He has compassion. Or Jesus is like a prophet declaring God's word, teaching, and he was all those things. But Jesus did not respond to any of those. He didn't say, wow, Elijah, miracles, that's great. He didn't. He said, well, then who do you say that I am? And that will be the most important question each one of us will ever answer. Who do you say that I am? Not your grandpa, not your mom, not your brother. Who do you say that I am? And so Jesus asked his 12 disciples. That's what they're saying, the people around that are trying to figure us out, figure me out. But who do you say that I am? And there in Matthew 16, Peter spoke up. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I can just see a giant smile spread across Jesus' face. And he said, you got it, Peter. And it's upon that rock that I will build my church. Not the rock of miracles, not the rock of compassion, not the rock of Bible teaching, not the rock of repentance, but the rock of Jesus Christ. He says, that is where I'll build my church. I want us to be built upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is not the starting point. Jesus is the only point. We keep our focus on him from the beginning to the finish, Hebrews chapter 12 says. And so we, on Wednesday night, will be studying in the Gospel of John. Join us, 7 o'clock, right here. We're going to be making sure that we keep our focus upon Jesus Christ. Never letting that stray as a church. So we want to be first and foremost a church built on Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we want to be a church that gives you opportunity to use your gifts and callings and fulfill the purpose that God has created you for. That's our vision. Real simple. Jesus first, us second, ministering to the world around us. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for how simple things can be. And I pray that we as a fellowship, as a body, would not complicate, would not, Lord, muddy the waters of the simplicity of your body. May we be a group that continually keeps our focus upon your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we keep our eyes on you, you tell us that we will be changed into the same image. We want to see Jesus live through us, Lord. And we do that by knowing you. So, Lord, may this day, this week, this Wednesday, we get to know you better. Bless us, Lord. I pray for those that are here, Lord, that you would truly begin to open up to them and reveal to them, to us, the lane that we're to run in, the purpose that you've created us for. And Lord, we know that we'll find perfect fulfillment in that. So bless us, Lord. Bless our fellowship here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, two services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So if you're inviting people, let them know that, because the bulletin just has one service on it. We have a bunch of stuff out here. Coffee, Dutch Brothers coffee. muffins, donuts, all kinds of stuff. There's playground out here for your kids to play on. We want you to hang out for a while. Mark, myself, Bucky, and Glenn will be here to answer questions. We'll just be milling around, so feel free to stay, fellowship. We're not going to shut up shop for a while. So enjoy. God bless you. Thank you. See you Wednesday.